FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Kusapja here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus star?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus back?
Transformers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 208, recorded July 15th, 2016. I'm your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Plasticon.
Hey, how's it going? G2 lives forever, yes.
Yeah, you love Georgia.
I know. Everybody says Georgia. No, it's G2. Come on.
Go Bulldogs! Yeah. Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And also joining us for the first time this evening is Sergio Garcia. Welcome to the cast.
Hey, everybody. I'm extremely excited to be on my first episode. How's it going?
Well, in the mighty Marvel tradition, welcome to TFYLP. We hope you survive the experience.
Absolutely. Sergio, you'll be seeing a lot of posts from him. He's been added on to the staff as the main news guy, still working out a couple other people. And they'll be posting news and new pictures to the tftalk.net website, which is the host website of our podcast here. So if you haven't checked out tfylp.com/tftalk.net, you can check it out at your leisure. That's basically, you can find the archive of TFYLP on there all the way back to episode like number 2. You can find lots of cool pictures, and we'll be covering a lot of news and everything. We've got some people at TFCon in Toronto this weekend. Our own Megamus, Mega Toy Fan, will be there. So if you're at TFCon this weekend, check out his booth, a Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com, as well as our other sponsor, Capture Prey. CapturePrey.com. They are also there. Check out the Capture Prey booth for great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com. You know, TFCon's going on in Toronto this weekend. I'm sure a lot of great news is going to come out of there. Maybe some third-party reveals. Seems to be like the thing that happens every year at TFCon.
A really busy weekend for me.
Yes.
lots of news.
Break you in the hard way here.
Yeah. And SDCC is next week, so it's just like one after another after another. They never come in.
And then a couple weeks after that, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at TF Expo. TF Expo is happening August 5th and 6th. In Wichita, Kansas, at the hotel at Old Town. It's a different location that it's been in the last few years, but the special guests this year are Michael Bell, the voices of Sideswipe, Swoop, Prowl, and a lot of other people, also Bombshell in Generation 1. And Beast Wars fans will be glad to hear that Mr. David Kay, yes, will be there indeed. So check out TF Expo. I know Capture Prey is going to be there, and so will yours truly. And also, hopefully, our own Chad Williams will be there as well. Trying to work out some things, so stay tuned for more information on TF Expo. And hope to see you there in Wichita, August 5th and 6th at TF Expo. Again, if you are also at TF Con this weekend in Toronto, stop by our sponsors and let them know that you heard about them on TFYLP, and tell us what you think of the show. We'd love to hear from you. So, guys, any of you have picked up any more Titan Return stuff this week?
I picked up my Toys R Us got in one case. literally, one case is all they got in. And I picked up Sentinel Prime. Wasn't planning on getting him originally. I was going to just bypass both him and Galvatron, because I have other representations of Galvatron, and I have a very good third-party Astro Train. But when I realized this guy has a lot of Brave homages, it's like his train mode is the entire lower half of Dagon X. Plus, his colors also remind me of Death Gary Gun as well, which is the Sky Gray repaint from Brave. So I decided to get him and just have a little something different. And besides, that's a lot of pretty orange.
Yes,
so,
it is.
You know, so I figured, why not?
I think he needs a G2 logo.
Yeah, but other than that, I've got I picked up Hardhead and Scourge. I have Mind. I'm sorry, not Mind Wife. That's on my wish list. I have Skull Smasher, but he has not been opened yet. But I will be doing that soon.
Yes, I got the entire first wave of deluxes. I know listeners, as they tuned in last week, we had I talked a little bit about Titan Returns Galvatron. I have mixed feelings on that, still do. I'm really hoping for either an upgrade kit or some kind of a fix for that god awful face interface. I can't stand it. But as far as the deluxes go, you know, Skull Smasher, aka Skull Cruncher, whenever I got him out of the box, he literally could not stand by himself. However, as you can see right now, if you're watching the video, his legs are pretty good and sturdy now. That's because I took them off and gave the old clear nail polish treatment to the ball joint and the mushroom joint that's in the thigh swivel here. Let that dry and then for about 2 or 3 hours, and then reassembled it and dropped in here. Then reassembled it, and he's right as rain. He'll hold pretty much any pose that I want him to go into, and I like him a lot. Hardhead's nice. Very simple transformation, very much essentially the same transformation as a G1. It's got a couple other things. You know, it's got kind of like the collapsing leg transformation like a lot of the Combiner Wars stuff has. I like the addition of the large cannon, how you can open it up, and there is a seat in there for Titan Master, and then also on the back here there's some peg holes where you can put a stand of Titan Master in there, so he can display pretty well. Great posability, and he's not floppy at all, at least mine's not. Pleasantly surprised with Titan Return Scourge. I didn't think I'd like the big boxy head, but it's okay. I can work with it. The transformation is fun. And from initial pictures, I didn't think I would like the flying spaceboat mode, but it's not as bad as it looks in pictures, honestly. And so then
it's not a bar of soap.
Yeah, it's pretty much a bar soap. Yeah, but a little shout out to our Tyrone Master Shooters. stuck him on there, and now he's a Headmaster Target Master and fits rather well, good and sturdy. And then the little spire on the top of the boat, the Target Master fits in the traditional location. So essentially, have Target Master Scourge.
Has Master Shooter considered, now these Titan Masters are coming out, has he reconsidered, or the group anyway, considered re-releasing some of these Target Masters?
I don't know.
For those Titan Masters that are now Headmasters that were Target Masters, that would be kind of a cool
maybe having piece. A second production run or something.
Yeah.
It's possible. I don't know. Then I got Blur. What's that?
George, does he come with his own weapon?
Yeah, I just have it pegged to his back right now. You've got a single gun that, let's see here, that basically it can become kind of like the head cannon that the original Scourge had, but it's actually the top of the spire. But it also can connect to a double-barreled rifle, which also has a duplicate role as a Titan Master seat / cannon gun. But I just affix it to the back because I gave him the Target Master, so it looks pretty cool. Then today I picked up, I think he's easily the best out of the initial. Well, that's random. My printer just starts going off here. I'm sorry about the noise. Blur is easily the best out of the deluxes, in my opinion. Fun little transformation. And yes, the Shooter Master works with him too. So I got Target Master Blur, and he connects in vehicle mode as well. And I actually posted it on the TFYLP Facebook group for those of you who are interested in seeing what that looks like. The Target Masters look a little bit big for him, but if you recall back in G1, they were a little bit big for normal guns. So it's not that far of a stretch, in my opinion.
It looks aesthetically pleasing, honestly.
It does.
It doesn't look like it's completely out of place. So
no, it works really, really well. Well,
that's the good thing about the Master Shooter guns is the aesthetic is so – it's a very neutral aesthetic. Mm-hmm. It's not like stylized or like animated or something like that, but that means it fits so many different characters across the board.
Well, heck, I mean, I put them in the some of the masterpiece hands, and I wish the fit was a little bit better, but I wish there was like an adapter kit to make them, you know, masterpiece friendly. But they look nice in masterpiece hands too. I've got my masterpiece hot rod. He's a Target Master hot rod right now. So
I wonder if we're going to start seeing third parties now with these Titan Masters, like what I suggested with the Master Shooter, if we're going to be seeing, you know, new batches of Target Masters and new batches of maybe more accurate Headmaster sculpts and things like that. Because this opens up a whole new ballgame for add-on parts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a
big possibility. I mean, I really think about how many times we got Classics figures in, and like a shoulder cannon wasn't there, or the gun that he came with didn't look exactly like the old G1, and then they somehow sculpted it to make it look more like that, and it's a different add-on gun. I could see that happening. That would actually be pretty pleasant, I would think.
Yeah. One other thing I picked up is, since there's a mod out there, I picked up Generations Nightbeat. Got him cheap online for about $6, and I'm gonna do the mod that's out there and put Titan Master Nightbeat on there to make him a true Headmaster. And if it works well and it doesn't damage the main toy much at all, if any, hopefully not, then whenever my wheelie comes in with Ghost Shooter, I'm gonna turn my Ghost Shooter into one of those as well. So. I'm really excited about that.
The one thing that I wanted to pick up a few more of these, but I wanted to get Blur. I really did. But after seeing the paint difference between Hasbro and Takara, I mean, we've always seen a paint difference because, and we talked about this before, you know, it's a different market in Japan, so they're not as constrained by a budget or a case assortment. But the difference on these Titan Masters is beyond any level of paint that I have seen in recent memory.
Yeah, that if I had a complaint, that would be my biggest gripe with Blur. Those of you who can see the video feed right now, I'm holding up my Blur. He's just pretty much all blue. And while, yeah, the character model for Blur, he should be mostly blue. That's nice. And I have to give it to you. He is a very pretty color of blue. He's got that nice sheen to him. You know, he's really, really deep, you know, turquoise, I guess, or pale blue. But he needs some more light blue and white on him to break it up.
Sort of like what they did on that SXS overclocking. He's all blue and lighter blues, yet there's definitely a decent color separation using those basic hues.
Well, I kind of wanted to compare it to the – how does he compare to the Classics version that we got? I know it's a completely different car, but I'm talking about color shade. How close is that, like, color shade-wise, is it to the Classics?
The Blur Titan Master – I've actually seen a picture of the two compared. The blue on Drift, the Drift recolor as Blur, is more of a Carolina – blue,
Tar Heel blue, yeah.
Tar Heel blue, kind of. A little bit lighter than that, but it's definitely like a mix of Carolina blue and sky blue. So it's definitely a lighter hue, but that hue would have worked on Titan Master blue. Blur to break up some of that monotony that we're seeing there. Basically, he's like Metroplex. Metroplex was all white with no details. You thought about a bank of snow, you couldn't find him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Blur is you throw them in, you know, a something blue, whatever that may be, and you couldn't see them.
That's true.
That's a good illustration there, Don. Throw them in a bank of snow and you couldn't find them.
Blur, you throw them up in the air. It's like, where'd you go?
Well, see, that's why I bought Utopia. Because Utopia has the right color separation to look like Metroplex, whereas Metroplex Generations was just... Like Danger Mouse, he's all white. You know, that's all you've got is white.
Well, you have to admit the customizers out there actually did some really awesome jobs with that mold. So hats off to those guys that actually are capable of doing that.
And getting Metroplex, getting Fortress Maximus from Metroplex.
Have you seen, and we're talking about the big guys, there was a guy that has already purchased three of the Titan Master Fortress.
Yes.
They repainted one like Grandis and one like Brave. That right there just goes to show you that needs to happen with that mold.
But not anytime soon because I can't afford all three.
Well, we still need a Metro
Brave. That's it.
Out of Metroplex. So, but you know, also before we move on, I do want to remember, I'll be able to speak tonight. I've had a long day. I've been to Newport up in Cincinnati and went to the aquarium, and I'm just like right now. I've only been home for like 45 minutes.
Words.
But yeah, words. They escape.
Words, me. Yes.
I want to remind everyone that if you're listening to us live, or even if you're listening to us on the downloadable version, you can tweet us at TFYLP on Twitter. Would love to hear from you. Please follow us and send us any comments you have on there. Also, we're on Facebook. If you are listening to this episode live or if you're listening to it downloaded, you can go to the Facebook group, and the current episode is always pinned to the top. So if you have any comments or questions that are relevant to the episode, please feel free to post them in the group, and if they happen while we're on air, we may mention them and discuss them on air. We love to hear from our fans, and as longtime listeners know, like Sergio, they know that we do notice them, and we will mention you on air, and we will botch your name very badly.
Oh yeah. if you look at previous episodes, my name came up plenty of times.
Yes.
Mine isn't that hard to botch.
But there are some that's out there that, you know, hey, my name's been botched many times, so I know what it's like. So
hey, Daron, I think we should have like an episode where we just pull names out of the hat randomly. About every 5 minutes, we just botch somebody's name on purpose, just pull them out of a hat randomly. We can call it the botch episode. That would work.
I totally agree, Jason. But
okay, Duran.
Jason. But anyway, I really like these guys. I think my pleasant surprise, I thought I was going to hate it because of the poor promotional photos. But Scourge is probably one of my favorites. Blur is easily my favorite out of the first wave. And I'm actually surprised to say that because I was so excited about Hardhead and Skullcruncher because they're the top tier headmasters. They are the original headmasters, part of the original headmasters. You would think that those would have been the ones they would concentrate on the most and gave them the most attention. But it's very clear that Scourge and Blur got the most attention out of this wave. They just hit the mark. But speaking of Scourge, what else was Scourge good for? Troop building.
Troop building, yeah. Exactly. I mean, obviously, he was the... Wasn't he like the birth of troop building, pretty much? Other than maybe the Insecticons?
Yeah, I think Insecticons would have been first because you could recreate all those scenes from G1 with, Season 1 or Season 2, where the Insecticons are just in swarms and everything.
As the humans are, like, watching them all fly over.
Well, but, before we head in here, there's a lot of fans out there that might be listening to the show. They might be new fans. Don, you want to tell us a little bit about what we are talking about whenever we mention troop building?
Yeah. To use a recent example, Transformers Prime, which most everybody is probably at least somewhat familiar with, being a more recent series, you had the generic Viacon soldiers on the side of the Decepticons. Fabulous toy. Absolutely. The first edition is nice. The Prime second edition is one of the best designed toys we have had in a long time, and it still holds up. And that is your generic trooper. Basically, he's a stormtrooper. Think of stormtroopers from Star Wars. Legions and legions of these identically clad, armored characters. In Gundam, if you use Gundam, the goofs were like that in Gundam. They're basically Smurfs, legions of Smurfs that look identical, that you can't tell them apart, that you would troop build to stand behind in your leader and be cannon fodder. It started in G1 really with Insecticons, if you want to think about it. Like I said, the scenes from some of the second season episodes where you have just waves of Insecticons flying over. I mentioned this a few weeks ago in our things we want to see that's kind of way out there from War Dawn, Megatron's original troops that were on the transport truck that were just cubes carried by these generic truck troops. That would be a troop builder, that you would just have legions of these little cube transformers that would just unfold. Another season 2 episode, Make Tracks, when Megatron stole all those cars and reconverted them into radio-controlled troops.
There's lots and lots of drones, essentially.
Exactly. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Part of that, anyway. There's other parts as well.
Well, here's a good question. The very first episode of Transformers, where you had the Rainmakers that just came and did their thing, wouldn't you think those would be pretty much troops? Builders, because there was really no name.
Well, I think that's kind of going into there's a difference between troop building and building. I want to call it army building, but at the same time, army building, is like you can have an army of Seekers. You can have Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp, Thrust, Dirge, Ramjet, Sunstorm, Acid Storm, Bitstream, but they're not all the same. They don't all look the same.
The body is the same, but the personality is different.
They mostly, you might have like one that is like the head, one, kind of like Scourge and the Sweeps. You have Scourge. He is like the main guy, but the rest of them are very subordinate and have a different personality. And they might sound a little different in the television show, what have you. But essentially, if you stood them all side by side by side by side, they would essentially look the same.
Right.
That's very true.
Yeah, so but you can army build, which is, you know, one way, or to me, and then you can troop build, which is your generic soldiers. That's kind of the way I've always saw the difference.
Cannon fodder.
Exactly. Basically. Sharktacons would be troop building, but if you wanted to use Gnaw as the leader, you could have Gnaw leading an army of Sharktacons. They'd all have the same mold, but it'd be a slight difference there.
G.I. Joe fans, I know there's several G.I. Joe fans out there that love to troop build, especially like with the battle android troopers. I have seen people with legions of these things. You know, I mean, they had to have made these things in the millions
the Star Wars guys with clones,
the troopers. Yeah.
I've seen some insane collections with literally like hundreds, even maybe even thousands of the stormtroopers. It's insane.
Yeah.
And one of the coolest displays I ever saw with the battle android troopers was actually at a local comic shop that I used to go to in Florida. They had this glass case, and I bet you they had probably 300 of these troopers. They basically had them all walk in one direction, and they had like Lady J, Roadblock, Duke, just like taking them out one by one. It was great. It was like one of the coolest displays I ever saw. And they're just like all coming at them like guns blazing forward. It was nuts.
And the good thing about the reason we would see those, excuse me, in shows and stuff, they're robots. They're not humans. The good guys can basically blow them apart without that whole horrible moral ethic of killing. So there's that as well.
Absolutely.
And it saves time because they all look the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's like you have this faceless, mindless drone, this troop, that, you know, nobody cares about, nobody has any attachment to. If they get blown away on screen or in a panel of a comic book, nobody cares. It's just, you know, it's just, oh, he looks like Scourge or he looks like Bombshell, but that wasn't Bombshell. That wasn't the main guy, you know. But the essential of what we're saying here is troop building is something that's been going on for many, many years. I'd say it probably started toy-wise, maybe with Star Wars back in the late 70s, early 80s, with the Stormtroopers. I'm not sure if there was a toy line before that really encouraged troop building. Well,
actually, you might want to call the original Plastic Army Men.
That
might be the first example of troop building, because you would buy buckets and buckets of these army men, and they would all be green plastic men.
Yeah. But I mean, the whole idea is to have a whole legion of these throwaway characters, essentially. They are there for effect. Many people like myself, I've owned multiple Insecticons at one time, and I usually, the way I would display them, there would be like, you know, Bombshell Kickback and Shrapnel up front, and then you'd have like a bunch in the back, you know. Usually it was, with me, it was like, I think three, but I know people that's known more, you know, for example, with the Titan Returns, Scourge right now, I know our own Rick Alvarez, he's got over 10 Scourges right now. Why? You have Scourge and the Sweeps, you know, and the Sweeps were supposed to be an entire legion of these characters. You know, I mean, we see them in the cartoons. There's just thousands of them, hundreds of them sometimes.
Well, one really obscure troop builder I think a lot of people probably don't remember much of, because you'd actually have to follow a lot of the old Japanese comics. And I'm going to share this image, and a lot of people probably are like, well, this is actually kind of a troop builder, but if you think about it, Metro Titan himself was also a troop builder.
Really?
He had different versions of him. When he transformed and took off, he took the rest of his army with him.
There was an orange one, a green one,
purple one. Yes, there are all different colors of this guy. And this is one that I don't think very many people really think about, troop building. This, to me, is ultimate troop building, especially if you're going to go into city formers. Because these things are massive already.
I had no idea that Metro Titan was a troop builder.
Yeah.
When I didn't.
He was in charge of this group, and this was his army.
When I didn't IDW revisit this with making them the Titans of Legend?
I believe they did. But this was way back in the old Battlestars. And this was old.
So
this
is the only
image that even exists of this.
Okay, so if this is from Battlestars, which one's the Galactica?
Exactly. But I mean, honestly, to me, if you want a troop build, if you want to be an ultimate troop builder, build that. Imagine that as set up as a city.
And now you've gave Make Toys the opportunity to recolor Utopia into Dystopia and all these other rainbow flavored.
Yes, please. Because I don't know anybody out there.
$300 a pop.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, even anybody, like, you think about it. If you get like the Metroplex mold or the Metro Titan mold, G1. Even if you had like six of this guy standing back behind it in all different colors, I mean, that would be an impressive display, even in the vintage style, let alone the new modern aesthetic.
And while you're sitting there eating your ramen for the next year and a half, you can enjoy them.
Exactly. There you go.
Well, let's look a little bit into the mindset of troop building. And to me, whenever I think of troop building, I think of you have a character that to me just doesn't look right unless there's two or three of his troops or more standing behind him. You know, it's like when you think of Starscream, your mind automatically wants to see Thundercracker and Skywarp at least at his side, and then by extension the Coneheads behind them. But whenever I think of Scourge, I would love to see, he just doesn't look right unless there's at least two or three sweeps standing behind him. Or if I see the Insecticons, it doesn't look right unless there's like two or three of each of them behind them. And to me, the mentality of troop building is just fulfilling that visual need out of that character. Is that about what you guys would think about when troop building, or is there something else?
I mean, honestly, the guys out there, this is a shout out kind of to the Diaclone collectors out there. If any of you guys have actually seen videos of the old Diaclone commercials, Powered Convoy, and even Battle Convoy, technically those molds when they first came out were supposed to be known as troop builders. If you look at the entire car, the whole convoy coming, it had an entire line of them. And if you go back and look, there's all different variations in colors. But a lot of those were troop builders back then, because what it was is you had a little dying clone driver that was driving them. Well, all they were power suits. So in a sense, that's almost a troop builder kind of thing as well. Now, if you kind of spin up to what they have now that's going on, they got that new dying clone. Was it that King Dam, the newest version? I forget what they actually call that one. You probably remember what I'm talking about. But it's the new version that's come out that's all super articulated, crazy engineering. That's technically a troop builder type of toy that's come out that's even Transformer related. It's just insane, like some of the stuff that's coming out now that most of us are like, that'd be cool to have like four or five of that guy, you know? Make like a really cool army, considering the one that's come out, they have it varied in two different colors. You got the one in the actual Diaclone Kingdom, like a silver variant. You think about it, if you use the silver variant of that one, along with the rest of those other ones that are in color behind it, it'd make a really impressive looking army. I actually saw a picture up on Facebook. I forgot where. If I can drag it up, I'll find it real quick.
This is really cool, and it's not related to troop building right this second, but our own Rick Alvarez wanted me to share this, so I'm going to share it on the screen real quick. Apparently our friends over at BMOG have made some replacement Titan Return faceplates that you can download on the Titan or Shapeways store. And it's faceplates that turn your Titan Masters into looks like Rung, Tarn, and I'm not sure what these two guys are. I'm brain farting on them. Do you know who they are? The purple and the blue and the red one. You guys know?
If they're IDW related,
they are IDW characters. Yeah, but really, really cool. Check those out from our friends over at BMOG on the BMOG Facebook page, BMOG. Just search for BMOG, and should be one of the most recent posts on there. It's some really cool stuff.
I actually found a picture of that. It is the Dia Battles. That's what I meant to come up with. But this is what I'm talking about when it comes to army building.
Yes.
And this right here, any Transformer collector loves this anyway, because this is exactly the origin where Transformers came from. That is an impressive army build. And honestly, this is what I kind of see with the future of a lot of the newer articulated robots, of what we're going to probably end up seeing here in shortly in the future with, like you said, head swap gimmicks, stuff like that. I mean, I would like to see, like what you're talking about with Scourge.
Yeah.
And him becoming a sweep.
Briefly describe what that picture was, though.
The picture of them basically that I was showing is a picture of the new Diaclone Dia Battles. This is actually a masterpiece version of King Dam. That is from the original Diaclone line. It is still it's Takara. This is an actual Takara project. There are two different variants. The one variant is more of a silverish kind of blue. That these all come into they actually have a different modes that you put them in. They split up into three vehicles, and they have ability to turn into a flying mold, or they actually have all three into like an expanded vehicle. And they've got them where it turns into a smaller type of tank, and then you've got the full robot mode. But it also comes with like a small little laser cycle, which looks like something from either Tron or Akira. That little cycle actually fits into the back of one of the vehicles and actually can fold up into it whenever it's actually in robot mode. So it's not like an extra piece laying around. Along with that is the smaller little figures that a lot of people like, the little Diaclone figures. These figures are they're actually slightly smaller than the real Diaclone figures. So if you guys are hankering for like a little teeny tiny guy to put in your G1 Optimus Prime or any other ones, this right here will actually fit the bill. And they all are articulated. And they still have magnets on the bottom of them, along with this thing actually has some magnetic sticker placement that you put, because it still does have actual stickers you do put on. And it's really, really cool. I've seen several reviews of this thing out there, and it's probably like one of the coolest little army builds if you guys want more of a masterpiece kind of aesthetic of these toys that a lot of us kind of eluded us when we were a lot younger. Some people remember them, some people don't, but these things are just – there's a lot of die-cast in it.
That is, if you can afford that, because I think each one of those guys are like $80 to $100 a piece or more.
Yeah, they are. They are very expensive, but, I mean, you think about it, you pay that for some masterpiece figures.
Yeah.
If you're a masterpiece collector, you're going to want these. These are the type of thing that will kind of go toward them as well.
Well, whenever you talk about troop building, that's another thing that comes into play is cost. I mean, it's one thing to buy, you know, four or five Scourges at $15 a pop, or if you can get them cheaper, more power to you. But, you know, whenever you're talking about figures that go for $20, $30, $40, $50 or more, you're looking at some money. Now, there's not a whole lot of characters that are that expensive, that are meant to be troop builders. I know, like where we use the original example of the Insecticons. You know, original Insecticons weren't that expensive. Nowadays, it'd be a little more expensive to do it, because if you're buying reissues, or even if you're buying vintage, you know, sometimes it can rack up in value.
Well, what about the remember the Classics Scourge that came out, and then there was it was a BotCon, I believe, and then had a set of like three sweeps you can get, and I think all their head sculpts were slightly different than Scourge's, if I'm not mistaken. I know their colors were different.
Well, that was from the Sideways mold.
Yeah.
From Cybertron. Cybertron?
I believe so.
Well, see, that's another thing, too. BotCon, especially during the FunPub era, and it's almost weird to mention BotCon FunPub era as in the past. You know, they've done, since the very beginning of taking over the license, they were doing the troop building thing. I know the very first one in 2005 was Virulent Clones with Buzzclaw and I forget what the other one was. Sergio was holding up some other troop builders that they done, the Insecticons out of the Retgar and Junkheap molds from Universe.
Which I thought was really interesting, and it makes sense. It's just I would have never thought of that, but once you see the fiction and how everything plays in, it's a really interesting idea that they went with.
Yeah, I think it's my most favorite three-pack that BotCon ever put out. They're really, really nice. These are the only ones that I ever considered to buy multiples of. It's just, like Duran said, the price is what's keeping me away from buying another pack.
And see, that's the one thing that I always, whenever BotCon was advertising them as troop builders, I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea, but you've got to make them affordable, or else that, you know, a troop building, I'm not going to sit here and troop build a three pack of something that I have to pay $60 a pack for, or more, you know. It's, to me, on my limited budget, you know, I'm not going to sit there and just throw away money on repeated characters of the same mold. Now, if they were down, you know, like $25 for a three pack, I would have been more on board, or a two pack, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, just like the standard retail release of that mold, how many add on kits did we get?
And I think you're back. You faded out on us there for a second.
Even then, the add-on kits were actually, if I remember correctly, were really expensive.
They were.
The main in Japan one, I think, retailed for like $80 or something. And man, it only came with pieces for, was it one or two?
I want to say pieces for either or your choice. But yeah, that was resin too, wasn't it?
They were custom made. I think that was like the only thing that they ever made too.
Which it kind of makes me wonder, you know, with these Headmaster ones that are coming out with all the Titan Returns, like we're talking about, like Scourge's mold, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe a third party does come out with like a three pack or a five pack of a specialized head, so that way it makes it look different than Scourge, so that way you can actually have an entire clone army behind that doesn't have to look just like him, you know.
I know a couple people and myself have said that they're going to be using the Takara one as Scourge, and then the Titans with the Hasbro ones as the sweeps.
Yeah.
I only plan on getting a couple. I like doing troop builds, but not like a ton of them because of limited space. But I want to get at least two or three of the Hasbro to stand behind the Takara version.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. But my thing is, think about it on the flip side, what do you think Japan's going to do? You think they're going to try to troop build ours, or maybe try to get ours as like their Scourge and then troop build the ones they have there? Well, I mean, that's kind of weird what they might do. I'm just thinking it might be kind of cool to see like a add-on kit that allows that to happen.
Well, I think that would be, if we have any fans that are in Japan or are familiar with the Japanese culture, as far as do people in Japan troop build? I've never thought about that. See, I don't troop build a lot. It's like if I bought a set at BotCon, like, for example, the Auto Troopers from Animated. I had the pack of three, but I was able to sell one and get over half my money back on the set. So I still have two Auto Troopers to sort of troop build with. So, I mean, I really didn't need all three because troop building is not a big thing for me. If I have, like, this Scourge and maybe another one, or if I get the Takara version, that's fine. But I think Duron hit on something as far as the price, because that right there, no matter how great something would be troop building, either visually or from an accuracy standpoint, if you can't afford it on a per figure basis, it's just not going to work. It's like, for example, trying to recreate Tony Stark's Hall of Armor using Hot Toy repaints.
It's the perfect example.
It's like that would be awesome to have Iron Man Tony Stark's Hall of Armor. But if you want the best representation of that, you're going to have to probably go with Hot Toys. Right. They ain't cheap.
No, they're not.
So yeah. you couldn't build this perfect display unless you really, really loved ramen for a very, very long time.
Bologna sandwiches.
You become very intimate and one with the ramen.
With the ramen. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me, you know, my pre-college days and all that stuff. Ramen and Faygo. Ramen and Faygo. That's all it was.
Or Shasta, or as I always like to call it as a kid, Nasta.
Yeah. So, my freshman year, I was actually dorming at college, and I bought Aries, but I bought them like week by week. So each paycheck, I put $100 towards the set, which means that I only had like $50 for food. So I'd go to the store and buy the like big packs of ramen for $24, or not the 24 pack of ramen for like $5.
Yeah,
I'd survive off of that because I wanted Aries so bad.
And he told this was such a long time ago.
It was 2 years ago.
It's like, gee, thanks. I feel even older than normal.
Back in my day.
Well, I mean, Sergio is probably, I'd say now you're probably the youngest member of the cast. How old are you, by the way?
I turn 20 next month.
Oh, my God. So,
yes, you are easily the youngest of the cast, which makes you perfect for leading us into our next point of discussion. Mini-cons. So, you know, mini-cons.
To be the very best, like no one ever was.
You know, mini-cons also lend to troop building because of the way they were portrayed in the Armada cartoon way back in the day. And I believe Aaron Archer, whenever he was on the show, he actually mentioned something along the lines of they were intended to be troop builders. I mean, they were small and affordable, and come in multi-packs. So you want to tell us a little bit about mini-cons and what the appeal of those were?
I love Aaron Archer, now that you've mentioned him. I've been to pretty much every con that I've been to. If he's there, I go to his panel. And he always mentions, when it comes to Armada, he mentioned that they specifically did the whole mini-con idea because of Pokemon. They wanted to do something with Transformers where you had to go collect them all. And the way that they did it was, in the show, whoever possessed the mini-cons were the most powerful. So that's why toys like Megatron, Optimus Prime, and Unicron especially had tons of these ports all around them. So kids could buy the little like three packs, the little teams of the mini-cons, or take mini-cons that came with the bigger figures, and then just stick them all over the bigger figures, and they'd play around, and you know, it'd be like the ultimate.
Or as I like to call it, back in the day, whenever I was collecting them, I'm like, these are your Transformers. And these are your Transformers jewelry. You can dress up your Transformers by plugging smaller Transformers all over it.
Wait a minute, though. You think about this. You go back and look at G1 Metroplex. What could you do with all the Scramble City parts with him?
Yeah. That's the original G1.
Maybe that's where that came from.
I don't know. But, you know, I remember back in the day, you know, when Pokemon first started really catching on and then Armada hit, the fan name Pokeformers was thrown about the message boards and everything so rampantly back in the day. And I'm like, it's so derogatory, but at the same time, it's very appropriate for it because it's essentially what it was. I mean, you had these mini cons, and you had to catch them all to have the most powerful Transformers, the most powerful characters. There was just so many mini cons out there. Somebody said here a while back, wasn't there like 200 different kinds of mini cons or something other? I can't remember the exact number.
Counting only the Armada line or like in total?
Because I mean, in total. I mean, you had Armada, Superlink, Energon.
Yeah, because they spilled over even up until the universe. They had a couple of like the, I know Kmart had like a 24 pack, and then some of the figures had mini cons.
Kmart had actually like several mini con sets. I've had them in the past. I know of at least two.
But, you know, I mean, nowadays, the last week or so, you can't get on social media without seeing something about Pokemon Go, you know, and
this is what I got to say to this. All I got to say is if you don't know what this is, you need to delete your Pokemon Go app. And I'm holding up right now an original beige gigantic brick of a Game Boy. If you don't know what that is, delete your app. I'm sorry. You're an amateur.
The original thing that you played Pokemon on. But you know, I see all kinds of my friends. I know even our own Sideburn 2 is getting obsessed with it, I'm sure. I know Insane Galvatron, he's been playing the crap out of it. He was telling me how he went to church the other day, and he's like, I got all kinds of Pokeballs. I'm like, so you went to church
This thing is like Pogs.
Yeah.
It's like Pogs. How long it's did that free. Last?
But it's free. You don't get to pay for it.
Yeah. But all of this craze, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, you know, this reminds me so much of the mini cons from back in Armada. Whenever it first hit, I first saw the cartoon. I hated the cartoon because it was Pokemon with Transformers, and I was not into Pokemon. But by the end of Armada, I'm like, I want more mini cons. I didn't really care that much about the bigger toys. You know, I mean, there was a few good ones in there. I like Tidal Wave. I love Tidal Wave. It's one of my favorite from that era. But the real gems, in my opinion, from the Armada or the Unicron trilogy were the mini cons. And by the time Armada was over, I was in that craze. I had to catch them all. I needed every mini con there was out there.
And you think about this, Jerron, this whole mini con craze has really not even left, because what was one of the last toys that come out that actually has a mini con port where you can plug it on? It doesn't do any activation or anything, but it like plugs on.
The Generations Starscream.
Yeah, I believe so. And that wasn't long ago at all.
Actually,
there might be a couple recently. I can't think off the top of my head other than
Starscream. And actually, there's a new one of the new Takara adventure figures coming out that comes with a Minicon, a three-part arms micron sword or a weapon of some sort. So it's not gone. It's even showing up in the next upcoming months in one of their new figures.
Yeah, I mean, I've
that Minicon combiner that came out during the generations, during the recent generations line. There was like a three part.
Yeah, I want more of those.
Yeah,
I mean, those are amazing. I really think if they did more of that now, to have more people buying those.
Couldn't you buy like multiple packs of those, and they can like combine and make a larger combiner?
I want to say I've seen Ultra a robot. Picture. Somebody took a picture of that. I think they had like four or five of the set, and somehow they're able to combine it together to make an even larger robot out of it. But I mean, I can't really.
I will Google that while you guys talk about it.
No, I've seen that before.
Well, I'm going to jump in on the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm tired of mini cons. I don't want any more mini cons, and I hope to never have to buy another toy that's dependent on the mini con gimmick.
I want more MicroMasters to come back.
Yeah, but the main thing is because
there was a lot of good toys from Armada. Well, I'm using good with quotation marks. That would have been a lot better without the Minicon gimmick, because I cannot think of a gimmick off the top of my head that was more intrusive to ruining a toy's functionality than Minicons, because you had to incorporate, you know, all of the surrounding features around it. We all use Sideswipe as one of the absolute worst Armada toys. That car mode looks really nice. How much better would the robot mode could have been if it didn't have to keep the same gimmick in robot mode? I mean, I don't. It's not that I don't hate the Minicons themselves. It's just the fact that the toys they were attached to were so limited in what they could do because of that. And I just basically got tired of Minicons being everywhere. Some of them were really interesting transformations. Some of them were crap to me, as it is with anything. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Don.
I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, for those of the video viewers, this is a conglomerate of a bunch of the Minicon assault team from the universe or the Generations line here recently, all put together into one big mass of whatever the hell that is. Yeah,
that looks like probably three sets.
Yeah, at least three sets put together.
Yes. And as far as Pokemon goes, I'm glad it is a success. I'm glad everybody's enjoying it. But this is why I like Digimon. You know, I prefer Digimon to Pokemon, so I have no desire to even get involved with Pokemon Go. Well, if they do a Digimon game like this, yeah, I'll play it.
You know, Don, you did kind of hit the nail on the head with something. Minicons were great by themselves. If they had had the Armada line, in my opinion, with you had the large Transformers and then you had the Minicons that could interact with them, you know, maybe not necessarily have a port on them and you could just plug them on there. But, you know, interact with them in some way, you know, like for example, you might have had like a tidal wave that had like several Minicons that turned into jets that could land on his battleship, right, or on his aircraft carrier mode. Interact with them in that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like the whole thing where you clicked on it and the elevator thing opened up. I was thinking it'd be really cool if they actually had like maybe like a city set or maybe like small. You remember way back when you got your Galoob Micromat or the Micro Machines, you had the smaller cities you put together.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been really cool to see like Minicons that go with a little set like that. And what you do is you plug them on and it does something like flip out guns or shoots missiles or does something on that. And then you build a whole city with that.
I'm sorry, Don. Backpedal. At Night Swords, Jason W. Rye on Twitter just tweeted, Combiner Wars Armada Megatron had Minicon plugs.
Oh, that's right. He did. I forgot about that because I didn't buy that mold.
Go ahead.
Did the G1 Megatron have that, or was that remolded?
I believe the Armada version was remolded to include the ports.
He does. Yeah, he does have them.
It is.
Okay.
I have the custom G2 version.
Okay. But, it's just if the Minicons had attached and either – if the gimmicks had been more localized, like let's say a Minicon would attach to Cyclonus and a blade would have popped out, or someone attaches to the back and a helmet pops up, like a battle helmet or something. Instead of the gimmick be localized onto a particular arm or a leg or a backpack or something.
And some of them were like that.
Yeah, they were. They were.
But, hot shot.
Yeah, but when you have the toys, the entire toy is compromised, like Hot Shot, like Sideswipe, by the gimmick having to interact with the toy, then that really took it out of me. I still bought them. I now hate myself for it and wish I never did. But again, it was new line, that new line feeling when you're like, well, it's brand new, something new, you know. But Yeah, that's I like Minicons. I'm glad they're very popular. They're still in Japan. I believe there's still exclusive Minicons you can get with purchases at Toys R Us and Family Mart and 7-Eleven and everything over there. I just don't want any more Minicons.
I would have much rather seen the Minicons portrayed, and this probably the G1er in me coming out, but I would have much rather have seen the Minicons portrayed more like Micromasters, you know, because essentially that's what they were to me. That's what the appeal was for me, was they were more like a Micromaster. And I wish that they had had that kind of interaction with the larger toys, you know, like I gave the Tidal Wave thing. And they didn't have to interact with everything else in the line. And you know, going back to even like Titan Returns, it's out right now. I think Hasbro gets too much into, okay, this is a shtick of the line. Everything in the line has to deal with it. You know, it's like, it doesn't have to be.
Even with Mattel, not every Hot Wheel car will work with every track, and they still do fine with Mattel. I mean, with Hot Wheels. So, I mean, you know, you can have some of that. Now, I will say this, as much as I don't like the Armada cartoon, the Armada comic book was infinitely better, even though it was a Dreamwave book, it was still infinitely better than the cartoon. If the Minicons had actually talked and had personalities and had actual personalities in the cartoon versus just being robot versions of Pikachu, I would think I would like them a lot better. Even if the gimmick was compromised, having the personality of the two characters would have gone a long way, I think, in making me not quite hate them as bad.
Yeah. That's something I completely agree with you on, Don, because you think about it. How many really, like, literally, think about how many names do you remember for the Minicons, literally?
It depends on how many you want to be accurate or not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's very difficult to even know, like, okay, what was that one's name? I don't remember. I know this thing turned into a skateboard, and I forget what his name was.
Well,
you see what I mean?
Last week he was leader one. This week, who knows?
Well, that's true. Even the names in the cartoon were wrong. That's what gets me. I mean, yeah, that happened in G1, you know, and I'm going to go down that line. But come on. I mean, this was more modern. You had more ways to be able to keep track of stuff. And then they're just like spouting off names. Oh, this is supposed to be leader one. Well, what leader one was this one?
Because of the, you know, the intrusiveness of the gimmick, that's why I wish that it had been like that. But that's the old fogey in me coming out. I want to ask you, Sergio, you grew up with these things. Is it safe to say that Armada was kind of your G1?
I'm trying to remember. I think the first show that I watched was R.I.D., but I was too young to remember. I remember watching it. Like, I remember watching it, but I think I was too young to understand what was going on. Armada was the first time where I sat down and watched episode by episode, understanding, you know, okay, next week this is going to happen. Last week this happened. So I'd say so. Armada was technically my G1.
Now, what was your thoughts on the Minicons and the toys and just growing up with those guys? What was it like, and what was your feelings toward the line? Obviously, it made you a Transformer fan. Or was it something else that made you more of a Transformer fan?
It was definitely Armada. I started with Armada, watched until Energon, Cybertron. I kind of fell off, and then the movies kept me watching. I kind of stopped in between Cybertron and the movie, but I wouldn't consider the movie was what got me into Transformers, because I've been watching it since Armada. I watched pretty much.
It brought you back. It reined you back in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, basically. And I think the cool thing about being one of the younger ones on the cast is oftentimes people speak so highly about, you know, G1 and everything, but then we talk about how great we want modern toys to be, but everybody always forgets that these are meant for kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I agree with, you know, Armada was not the best toy line. I agree with that. Now that I look back, now that I try to collect some of the ones that I had as a kid, they're definitely, compared to modern toys, they're bad. But I remember as a kid, I thought they were the greatest thing in the world. especially the flip up gimmicks and everything. How you plug a minicon and then Hotshot's cannon pops up. I thought as a kid it was like, whoa, this is the
coolest thing ever. They had a lot of play value. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about that. How the leaders had, I know Optimus Prime had the trailer that turned into the base, and then he had weapons, and then a whole bunch of different stuff that you plugged in. But I remember specifically my favorite ones were the ones that combined into the weapons. And I wish that they would have done more of those instead of doing the whole, you said, intrusive gimmick. I think they would have done better with the older fans if they would have done that. Like, make a gimmick-free figure, but include, the Skyboom Shield.
Or the Requiem Blaster, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were actually my favorite minicon sets, like the Skyboom Shield, Requiem Blaster, even the Star Saber Sword. I hated how they connected because it was so finicky. But truth be told, I have two minicon sets right now that I still have a possession of. I have the Japanese version of the Street Speed Team, I believe, with Oval and those. I love those guys. And I have the Star Saber Sword. But I just hated how they connected because it was never stable. It's like he looks awesome in Optimus Prime's hand, but the moment you move him, the sword just crumbles. Because, the connector ports, it's just this little tiny piece of clear plastic plugging them together,
Well, shield wasn't any better because the shield would actually kind of because the way the head pops out to become a handle, it wouldn't stay. It would, try to fall. I mean, I had all those, too. And I feel your pain with the sword, but the shield was just as bad sometimes. And sometimes I just couldn't really pose some the right way with that shield, because sometimes a shield was just so big it would bump into everything else and it just wouldn't look right.
And I have to say, on a completely on a tangent, Sergio, every time you say when you were a kid and you refer to Armada, you just drive a spike further and further into my soul. So thank you very much. Because
Don?
I'm old. I turned 46 last month, okay? I was there at the beginning of G1. I have seen it all.
So basically, you were slightly older than Sergio is now whenever Armada was starting to hit.
Well, Armada started in 2002, right? Give or take?
Yeah.
It was like 01, 02.
Okay. 2002, I was 32.
Okay, so you were
more than 70.
Was basically walking down the aisle and laughing at my G2 collection. That's what he was doing at that age.
Yeah, I was.
What's this repaint? What's this crap?
Yeah, well, no, I know, I loved G2 from the moment it came out. But nah, so every time you mention when I was a kid and you refer to Armada.
Well, so I guess he's closer to me then, because in 2002, I was 22. So, yeah.
I remember specifically at this year's BotCon, I went to Aaron Archer's panel.
No,
and the first thing I said, I was like, yeah, when Armada came out, I was 5 and now I'm in college. And the look that he gave me. It was really funny.
Yeah. I mean, the age discrimination thing here, it's all in fun, but.
Except for Brett. Brett just loved.
Brett's just short and he's old, so.
Well, he also has access to firearms. That's why I don't say anything.
I just drove through his town a while ago and I'm like, he's not here. I could so go by his house and I'm like,
Yeah. But he has very, very interesting ways of hunting you down.
Yes, yes.
You don't want to
He has lots of friends in blue. So
yes.
So Sergio, if you see me just sort of looking at you or just getting this weird look when you mention something, it's nothing personal. It's just honestly, you're talking about this stuff is like for you it was a while back, and I was there at G1 when it premiered, and I was there for G2 and RID.
Before G1.
I was there before.
He's a die clone baby.
I remember having Micro Man when they first came out in the US. I had the Battle Cruiser with the two guns that fit on the side with the giant missiles that didn't go anywhere. You know, so yeah, so it's, I'm glad you're with us, Sergio, but I also hate you right now.
Nothing personal. I admire his youth because, you know, I'm right there with you, Don. I mean, I was big into He-Man, Hot Wheels, Lego and everything. And then this thing called Transformers comes along in 1984 that just absolutely captivated me. And now here I am, a 41-year-old adult male, and I'm surrounded by toys. You know, that are Transformers, you know, and I don't care. It's something that I enjoy. And you know, we've talked about it many times before on this show, and we'll talk about it many more times. You know, it's something that's a great hobby to be in. And, I love the fact that Sergio has joined us now and we're not just an all G1 cast, you know.
We're now another G2 cast because there's three of us that are G2 fanatics on here now.
Yeah, well, that's good because, see, you know, and having you on, Sergio, is great because you'll help us to remember that our favorites are our favorites, but there's more to it than that. You'll help us to remember everything's not G2 or RID or G1. So we've got a better mix of voices.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like Eric Dupuis' comment here. He said, back in my day, our Transformers had one or two articulation points, and we liked it that way. Get off my lawn.
Exactly. I know. Well, see, you know, I've brought up at BotCon for many years to if the molds, and we talked about this again, especially the UK stuff that never made it over here, if those molds still exist, let's try getting them into some BotCon sets. And everyone's like, oh, they don't have articulation. It's like, yeah, but you have to remember me. When I'm growing up, if we had elbows, we thought we were the stuff. Yeah. And to have bendy elbows, and God forbid if we had knees.
You know, I remember as a kid playing with G1 Broadside, and I'd stand him up, and I'm like, God, I wish he had some legs.
but the cool thing, he had elbows. He had honest to God elbows, and it's like, this is so cool. He could swing his axe.
I remembered so many times holding that toy. I'm like, would it have been so hard if they could have just gave him a neck swivel so he could turn his head? But, you know, before we wrap up here, you know, many cons we've talked about troop builders, but you know, Sergio, since you're on here and we're talking about that, as you got more and more into the fandom and you started finding out what came before, what are your thoughts on characters? What's something that stood out to you and really made you say, well, that's really awesome? And you really dig about prior incarnations before you came on board with Transformers.
I want to briefly tell the story about the first figure that was in my collection and kind of how I had a really interesting childhood when it came to Transformers, because when I first started watching Armada, it was around the same time that it was the 20th anniversary of the movie. So I remember going to Walmart and I saw... And I did grow up with VHS. I remember seeing the VHS of the 20th special edition of the G1 movie.
But and you I don't picked it remember up I, beta.
I'm too young for beta.
I missed those days.
I had tons of VHS tapes, but I remember picking it up and I just saw Transformers. I had no idea, you know, who these characters were or anything. I think that cover had Optimus on the front, and I was like, oh, it's Optimus Prime. I knew who he was. So I knew, you know, I could tell at least they did a good job, you know, red and blue, it's Optimus Prime. So I remember begging my dad. I was like, can you please buy me this? And he's like, but you watch it on TV. And I'm like, yeah, but when it's not on TV, I can watch it on VHS. So he bought it for me, and I remember crying like a baby when Optimus died. I think I had to be 5 or 6 years old when he died. But at the time, I had no idea what G1 was. I just thought it was a cartoon movie.
Just imagine being in the theater and seeing that in the full on the theater screen.
So which, I remember,
you know, incidentally, if you're going to TF Expo, you'll be able to watch it on the big screen. So check out. Yeah. They're showing Transformers, a movie, the 86 movie, on the big screen at TF Expo this year. So
I read, didn't they rent out like a theater?
Yes, they did.
Or something? That's awesome. I was reading about that. But yeah, so flash forward to about 2009, which was the 25th anniversary of G1. I remember for Christmas, my uncle gave me $50, and I went online and I'm like, you know, I'm going to look for something to spend it on. And I have no idea how, but I came across the reissue of G1 Prime. And of all places, I came across it at jcpenney.com for like $30.
Wow.
With shipping included. So I ended up buying it because I was like, hey, you know, I remember liking Transformers. So I bought it. And then that was officially like the first Transformer that I considered to be part of my collection, which was a G1 Prime that I had zero idea about. So when it came, I went on the computer again and I Googled it, and then a review of it came up, and that's when I discovered that, holy crap, there's like a whole internet thing. There's a whole fandom behind these toys. So that's when I started researching more about what was what. It came with a DVD. I watched those episodes. I went back on Google and everything. That's when I discovered that there was G1, G2, Beast Wars. And I remember wanting a lot of like the G1 stuff, especially the Ultra Magnus. I thought that they were really cool. And then the Beast Wars stuff, you know, they turned into animals. I thought they were the greatest thing ever. But it's interesting how I have toys that are older than me.
But you're a huge fan of them and love them than just the same. I mean, it's like me. I mean, you know, me and Don. I mean, we can go into Walmart or wherever and buy a toy that's meant for somebody, you know, 10 to 12 years old, and we enjoy it just as much, you know, because we look at it through different eyes, you know. But characters, is there any characters that whenever you went back and started seeing some of these older characters, what are some characters that really jumped out at you? It's like, wow, I like that design. I like the idea of that. I know you said Ultra Magnus. Are there any others from different eras, G1?
Specifically, G1 Grimlock, Megatron, Beast Wars Megatron, and then G1 Megatron. Those three I remember specifically being one of the cooler ones that I thought were really cool because, you know, Grimlock, he was a T-Rex, a robot T-Rex that's as awesome as it gets. Mm-hmm. Megatron, he turned into a pistol, a realistic-looking pistol, and that's what I thought. And it was like, wow, they made a Transformer that turns into a pistol. And then Beast Wars Megatron because he looked like a realistic T-Rex. You know, well... To me,
purple, like, realistic. Well, yeah. He looked like a realistic Barney.
God, no.
Yeah.
He does not love you. No.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of stuff when I started discovering more and more about like the older stuff. I remember, what was it? I really liked the RID stuff because they had the rubber tires. And that Prime that I got, the G1 Prime, it had rubber tires. And then I remember like a week later, I went out to the store and then I bought a Universe, I think it was like a Sideswipe, the 2008 one, like the Universe 2.0. And I remember being disappointed that it didn't have the rubber tires. But at the time, I had no idea that like not all of them had it.
So... You know, if there's any old character that you don't have right now that you would love to go back and get from any generation, what's on your target right now?
Could it be like a special edition?
Special edition, exclusive, vintage character from any era that you're like, you don't have it right now, but I'm going to get that.
Definitely, I'm going to hold this one up for the video viewers because it's going to lead into what I want. For the audio listeners, I'm holding up the BotCon 2014 Jinrai, and I really, really want to get the e-hobby version, but it's like $400 or $500 now, and that's it's a little bit more.
Fire Guts, correct?
Yeah, the Fire Guts.
Fire Guts Jinrai version.
Yeah. I just love the neon orange. Like Jason mentioned, I love G2.
Yeah,
I really like the bright G2 colors.
Hey, Sergio, I do happen to have Fire Guts Convoy, and he is very nice, but do not like put him under direct light.
because when the light reflects off that orange, it will blind you.
That's what makes it awesome.
Isn't that the point of the awesome G2?
It's like Great Goldoran. The one time you see it before you give yourself discount LASIK is fine. You know, then after that, you know, you're sort of like, I remember what that looks like before I looked at it under a direct light and it blinded me.
Okay, Sergio, when you get this thing, the first thing you need to do is do a shot of you putting on sunglasses before you actually do the review. Because that will seal the deal. Everybody that's a G2 fan would love it too. So.
Yeah, and then because of that, I really hope to either be at Japan or Hasbro somehow. I really hope they do the Titans Return one in the Fire Guts colors.
That's a good repaint idea because that way you can at least get the character out there with even if they don't do an encore reissue of that.
I kind of wonder if they actually do Chrome. That's a good question.
They did Chrome for Five Guys everywhere.
Another one that I was thinking of was G1 Megatron. I want to give that one. For some reason, I've just never gotten around to getting one. I held one in my hand. I think Azusa had one at BotCon, and I asked him. He wanted 90 for it, and it was the reissue, the Japanese reissue, and which wasn't a bad price, 90 for in the box. It just there was other things that I wanted, but definitely a G1 Megatron would be another one on the list.
Yeah, and you know, there's a Shokarect down here.
Oh, for those that don't know the story, this year at BotCon, I remember, I think, Friday? I think it was Friday. Yeah. I texted Duran and I was like, is $120 for a BotCon Shockwreck a good price? He's like, yeah, that's a good price. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy it tomorrow. And then I go back the next day and it's gone. And then he's like, oh yeah, guess what I just bought, a Shockwreck. And I'm like, you did it.
I didn't know it was the same one you were looking at.
I didn't mention the booth.
I swear to God, I did not swoop you. Not intentionally. Yeah,
so the whole weekend he was teasing me like, hey, look what I got. And it was pretty funny. I mean, it was funny, you know. It was my fault for waiting so long. I was like, you know, I'm going to give it maybe. Maybe it's their Sunday. Maybe I can get him down a little bit, but. That's completely my fault. But
I have to admit, there was that little tinge after I bought it. I'm like, what are the odds of two Shokaraks into the same show, you know, that are both sealed? And then it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, crap, I probably just put them on there. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I ended up getting the club one from, I think it was BotCon 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the original Rampage. I actually ended up getting the Metals version. The guy thought it was the Hasbro one, and I thought it was the Hasbro one too until I got back to my hotel room and I noticed the Destron, and I was like, oh crap, I have a Metals version.
Mm. All right. Well, I think that'll cover it for this week's episode. Anybody else have any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Not really. Have fun collecting what you guys are getting. Honestly, I would like to see what some people's thinking about some of the Titan Return stuff. Maybe plug some of that stuff away and see what you guys' opinions are.
Yeah. I will say that I would like to see the Mind Wipe and Skullcruncher Titan Returns repainted into a Beast Wars anniversary set. Because that would be it'd be a little bit late at this point for the anniversary year, but at least it'd be something Hasbro could do.
Give the Gator the Galvatron head and the Bat the
Sentinel.
Yeah, Sentinel Prime head redecoed, or even the Power Master Prime head.
Yeah, so you know, because I really think that would be something that, because I'm hoping Hasbro has something planned for Beast Wars other than just maybe bringing Primal over, which we may find out about, you know, at San Diego, but we don't know. But I think that's too good of an opportunity to pass up.
I do have one question, though. Because we're going to be getting a Masterpiece Cheetor. Do you guys think maybe they might do a Masterpiece Rhinox?
I think if these two goes on, I think we'll get more.
Well, the thing of it is, though, there's a picture from Japan that shows the Cheetor and Primal with Generations Rhinox, and they're scaling pretty good.
And that Rhinox alone is really, really good. I can't think of how they can improve upon that.
Yeah,
it's tying up the hips.
So, you know, they might do Rhinox, but since we've got the Generations Rhinox, I think I'd really rather see that budget go for another character that we don't have. Like, if we've got Primal and Cheetor, we're going to have to need a Megatron, and probably a Tarantulas would be the next Predacon I would think of.
Or Dinobot.
I'd love a Tarantulas.
Yeah. Well, Dinobot with maybe switching symbols, so you could have him either as a Predacon or a Maximal. Mm-hmm. But I think a Masterpiece Tarantulas would look really it'd be nice.
That'd be pretty sick. I'd be on board with that one.
Absolutely. Well, we'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on troop building, mini-cons. What do you like to troop build? Do you go after every scourge that's out there and try to build your army of sweeps? Do you like to an army of Insecticons? Or do you want a bunch of what else is out there, you know, that troop build? Whatever it is. I mean, I've actually heard of people troop building toys that aren't necessarily troop building toys. I know Brett has he likes to troop build with the jump starters because he has like bags of them.
Okay. If you guys really want to get into like just troop building the cheapest transformer you possibly can, those are the perfect one to do with because you can find them loose. 90% of the time they're going for like next to nothing. You can probably get two of them in a pack for maybe like $10 sometimes off of eBay. They're cheap. They're fun to play with. They're honestly like probably one of the coolest shelf missions. So if you're trying to do something cool, that would be an interesting masterpiece.
Or you could do like Plasticon and buy combiner figures and paint them weird colors that match the background characters in the shows in the show that was actually miscolored versions of the original character. That way you can have
No.
I'm talking like the animation errors, like whenever you had the Grimlock colored dead end in the background or something.
Oh yeah, those were interesting. I mean, we can go into an entire different.
The shots where there's three really star screens on screen.
Future show, I would think. Just talking about the major animation errors and what that toys were probably would have looked like if they would have came out.
Maybe there, we could get together some digibashes of toys and what they would look like in their animation error colors.
I actually admin the Transformers Addicts page on Facebook, and I remember two, three years ago when Prime was like out and everything, there was a woman who posted a picture. She had like 28 of Prime Ratchet, the deluxe. She had like a shelf full, and she said it was like 28 or 29. I can't remember the exact number.
Prime Ratchet.
I think it was her favorite character, but she had like it was a ton. I don't know why, but I mean, more power to her. I mean, I guess that's her favorite.
I love Weird Wolf, but I don't have 28 Weird Wolf.
I mean, well, if anybody remembers, and actually goes back through my archive of a lot of my reviews, I was giving away the Prime Viacons as like subscriber kind of thing. And you know, if another troop builder thing comes across, maybe one day I might end up doing that again. It'd be actually kind of cool if we can actually come up with some kind of troop building thing, especially for people who are listening to the cast we got going on.
Mm-hmm. Discourage would be a good one.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I wanna add, sorry for cutting off. I wanted to add again, I wanted to thank you guys for letting me on the cast, but I also wanted to kind of reiterate just how great I think it is, just how diverse the fandom is, especially when you go to these cons, you see people of all different backgrounds, you know. The Transformers fandom is so diverse, it's awesome. It's amazing how I wouldn't know any of you guys if it weren't for these little plastic toys. I just think that's great.
It is. It is. I mean, you know, and that's one thing that friends of mine who aren't fans, and even like my girlfriend, you know, she went to BotCon this year and her eyes were open. You know, she's like, you know, she'd seen my collection here. And then she's like, wow, that's a lot of toys. And then she saw Orson's collection. And then she's like, wow, you hardly have anything. Because, I mean, the guy's probably got 3,000 toys, you know. And then she's like, wow, I mean, there is a fandom here. And then she goes to BotCon and seeing there's people there, young, old, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, straight, gay. It doesn't matter. You know, we are a huge fandom and diverse fandom. You have your poor collectors like me. you have your collectors that, you know, doesn't think to drop $2,000 on a toy. You know,
it goes like that. Honestly, Duran, what it all sums up to. Till all are one.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
Exactly. And with that note, I want to thank everyone for joining us this week on TFYLP. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Who do you like to troop build? What's your favorite troop building thing? Do you even agree with troop building? What's your favorite mini cons? You know, did you like the mini con gimmick that was introduced during Armada? We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at TFYLP or join us on our Facebook group and let us know on there. I am Duran Land. Along with me this evening has been Headmaster Don, Sergio Garcia, and Plasticon. We will see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Take care, everybody.
Peace out.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.